Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NarniWeb.com podcast. I am your host, Rillian, and today we have Glumpuddle.
Back again. It's been quite a while for me.
It has, but that's okay. That's okay. Mm-hmm. And we've got a couple clips to discuss today. Boy, this has been kind of interesting. We had a new trailer, kind of new trailer.
Kind of. Narnia trailer.
Teaser.
Dawn Treader trailer 1.5.
Yeah. 1.0.5.
They've been calling it, because I was on the Diary of a Wimpy Kid DVD. Not that many new shots.
Right.
But it was kind of unexpected.
Yeah, but I think it's been interesting to see the new clips, since it's actually, for the most part, unedited portions of the film we're actually seeing. Just overview real quick. We got three clips, and we're really only I think, going to discuss two of them. Just because the third one, would you say it just wasn't a whole lot to talk about, Glumpuddle, or?
I think we could talk about the third. We'll see what we have time for. Let's just go and see what we have time for.
Okay. Well, first clip, we have basically Eustace and Lucy and Edmund in the house. Eustace is in his room. He's writing in his journal. We hear Lucy come in, and then it cuts to Lucy and Edmund in the room, and they're discussing the painting. We see a little more dialogue. Eustace gives one of his rhymes, and then, of course, we see the painting starting to move subtly. Then, of course, the water starts gushing out,
and
then
that's what we've seen in the trailer.
That's
after
basically
that.
Yeah, basically the trailer. What are your impressions, Glumpuddle?
Well, first off, it's cool. I mean, all these clips here, we have to kind of take it with a grain of salt, in because they're obviously very. This is not how they're going to appear in the movie. They're
right.
Very choppy how they're edited, and the music is definitely not what we're going to be hearing, and even the sound mix doesn't really sound right. So I look at these as trailers for these scenes, really. And so we can only really sort of nitpick the details, I guess. And I guess the big thing that comes out of this is we finally hearing Will Poulter as Eustace, getting some more concrete shots of his performance. I think most people are really happy with it. There's been a few, and I'm kind of in this group here, a few people who are kind of, oh, it sounds like maybe he's kind of overdoing it. His voice sounds a little bit weird. And I think it was Icarus who pointed out, well, I guess this pretty much settles it, that in the first trailer, that line, it just keeps getting weirder and weirder, was Eustace. And because his voice just seemed a bit odd. But then in the third clip, which we'll talk about it at some point, whenever it is, his voice sounds normal again. So I guess that's just his pre-dragon Eustace voice. But overall, I'm definitely very happy. He's definitely very consistent with what we know about Eustace from the book, for sure.
Yeah, I did notice his voice changing, and I thought that was it was unexpected, to be sure. I thought it was a little interesting. Not quite to the point, it won't garner any of the ridicule Christian Bale's Dark Knight did, but I don't know. I guess I kind of liked it. I wasn't really annoyed by it. I thought it was. I mean, it'll depend. I mean, he could definitely overdo it, or it could be something that's just really subtle that he decides to add to the character to make him a little more sulky when he's a pre-dragon Eustace.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me, the huge sigh of relief in this, is that even though Will Poulter is 2 years older than Georgie Henley, looking at this, he definitely looked younger. That was a huge sigh of relief.
Yeah, it definitely was. And
Which is, I just think it's important that Eustace be the puny little person who's trying to pick a fight all the time.
Yeah, and even as far as his size, he doesn't. He looks like like he'd be the younger cousin. Not even like he's a younger cousin that shot up or anything.
Yeah, which also gives us some hope that he won't be too old to play Eustace in Silver Chair.
Indeed, indeed. Now, there is something that you just kind of brushed off that I actually maybe gave more thought to, and that was the line where he said, in part of his rhyme, where he says, "There once were two orphans who wasted their time," and I thought, orphans? Why on earth is he calling them orphans? It just makes no sense for. I mean, you just kind of brushed it off and said, he's just,
Yeah,
being
totally.
A pill.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't even really give it that much thought until I went into NarniWeb and started reading the thread. I'm like, no, he's just because their parents just sort of, drop them off. And, as they follow the book, they went off to America and abandoned them, basically. It's how Eustace is trying to. Play it. So yeah, I don't think they've. I mean, I don't think they killed off the Pevensey parents. Even for Eustace, it would be way too low to like make fun of two kids who just lost their parents. Even for Eustace, they would never go that far, I think.
I don't know. I could kind of see it. I mean, it's just I couldn't – for me, it just didn't seem to make any sense for him to say orphans when – I mean, it's not like – it's like orphans – okay, and I mean, because I think it looks like, you know, the father is fighting World War II, and I thought, well, maybe they've done something. Maybe they've decided to take it in this route, or maybe they just kill. I just really wonder, because it seems to me that it makes more sense for them to really be orphans than him to say it, than for him to just choose the word orphan and to say, oh, well, they're just dropped off by the parents, but I'm going to just call them orphans.
No, because he said – later he says, you know, it's my house. You're just guests, as if you're only here for a short time. Then you're going back. So because some people are trying
to
say –
Well, no, he's not adopting.
Right. Some people are trying to say, oh, they're orphans and now they're going to move in with Eustace and his family. But that's like – well,
I didn't think that.
No. I mean, I definitely – I would be absolutely shocked if they killed off the Pevensey parents. And look at like Lucy and Edmund's reactions to it. It just doesn't look like – I don't know. I think their reaction would be different.
Well, we're not really seeing their reactions.
Don't you ever knock, you know, that kind of thing. And I guess we're not really seeing them, but I think that they just would not go that far. Even for Eustace, that's way too low.
Maybe. But, well, I mean, those are really the only, I mean, yeah, I guess this is really our most complete vision of Eustace right here. Mm-hmm. And I don't really, other than the orphan line, which kind of drew my attention the second time, I don't really have a lot of thoughts here, except that it appears that he is writing in his journal, which is
cool.
And he puts it in his sock, which is kind of a creative way of, oh, okay, maybe they are going to incorporate the journal into the movie.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to do that. That's one of the things where I've been saying all along. In fact, this is the reason why I've been suggesting for a while, maybe they should move Eustace's dragoning to later in the story, because in the book you get inside Eustace's head so easily where, oh, let's just read his journal, and that works really well in a mm-hmm. book. But then when it comes to doing that in a movie, well, how would you do that in a movie? So they probably need more time to get that across. But this makes it seem like, why else would he stuff it in his sock? It doesn't make it look like they are going to use it at some point later in the film. At first I just thought it was an Easter egg for fans, but he puts it in his sock, so it's right, like, well, right. I guess they are going to use it at some point,
some way of transporting it to Narnia. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, that's really all I have for that clip. Do you want to give a summary of the second one?
I mean, look. Oh,
was there anything you forgot on the first one?
Yeah, there is a bit at the beginning where Lucy is looking in the mirror, and you get the sense that that's kind of they kind of linger on that shot. And these clips, the way they're edited, lingering on a shot, it's a pretty big deal. but so you get the sense that they're probably that is foreshadowing the Magician's Book scene where she transforms into Susan in the book.
I had not at all noticed that, but I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. And we're sort of getting some of the Eustace and Edmund kind of conflict, which I think is kind of like the Peter-Edmund conflict. I think that is going to be a really big subplot and a big part of both of their arcs.
Yeah, so. I think that – yeah, I mean so far from what I've seen of the interaction between everyone, I mean, it's not like, you know, we started seeing clips of – interaction between Peter and Caspian. We go, oh no, what are they doing?
You know,
right. Oh, but I haven't seen any interaction between characters that makes me go, oh no, I don't like this.
Right. I guess it's probably because in the Prince Caspian book, there's not that much conflict between the characters, and they mm-hmm. felt the need to try to inject it. Well, it's not that hard to figure out a way to put conflict into this one.
The real question will be how they deal with Eustace and Reepicheep.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be really interesting. I'm sure they're delighted that they have all these conflicts between characters.
Yeah. Ooh, joy, conflict.
Mm-hmm. And then you're just looking at this. I mean, the blocking of the scene is very similar to how it's described in the book, where it's they're looking at the painting, and then Eustace comes in and starts making fun of them, and they've changed the rhymes. I'm not sure why they felt the need to do that. But and then you can tell
that the word orphan in.
That's right. And then you've got you know, you can tell this is like a spare bedroom because Eustace's room looks well furnished, like he's been there a while. Then this is obviously just a spare bedroom. So everything we're seeing here looks kind of consistent with the vibe you get from the book.
Indeed. Yeah. So far, I mean, the sets I've seen, I'm really liking all the sets that I'm seeing.
Yeah. And I really like the cinematography. I really like that kind of dull brownish color they're going for.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any 3D shots in this part. Except
not in
for,
this part, at least.
Not in this
no.
part, no. So.
I guess that's it for this one.
I guess.
I'm hoping about what I did have a thought that with the rhymes, wouldn't it be cool if I could figure out a way to work in the first line in the book of if
Oh
someone could
yes.
just say, "Oh, you deserve that name," or something. I would love that's my.
I always pictured Edmund and Lucy getting into a cab or something and driving, and Edmund say, "You know, if they wrote a book about Eustace," I always imagine them finding something like that just to say, just to throw that in.
The boy called Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it. My favorite opening to any book ever. It'd be cool if they could find a way to
Hear,
reference that, at
hear.
least in the dialogue.
It would.
Yeah, that's all I have here.
Okay. Well, why don't you summarize the next one? Because this is by far the most interesting of the three.
The second one, and again, this one is probably the choppiest of the three, I think, as far as the
I
way
think,
it's
yeah,
been edited.
definitely.
Yeah, you really gotta just nitpick the details. But you have Eustace walking along this kind of rocky valley kind of place, which is it Dragon Wa what do we call this? Dragon Island, Death Water? We'll
I'm
talk
calling
about
it
that.
Dragon Island for right
And
now.
we'll talk about that in a
Because I haven't
second.
seen any water yet, but we know there will be a dragon, so I'm calling it Dragon
I'll
Island.
talk about that in a second. But you have a point there. So then Eustace is walking along, and he slips and falls and slides down into this valley thing, and he finds all this gold running along this like kind of valley canyon thing. And he goes, "I must be dead," by which I assume he means I must be dead and I've gone to heaven. And he starts, rummaging around and grabbing the gold. And he sees a skeleton, and he pulls an arm ring off it. So is this the Lord Octesian, we suppose? And
Supposedly.
then he's looking around, and he looks over to the right, just off camera, and a subtle puff of smoke or steam or something goes past him. We'll talk about that in a second. Then we have a big, big, huge time cut to Caspian and Edmund walking along the same rocky valley. And they look down and see the gold, and another big time cut. I guess they find Eustace's shoe. And Edmund says, "I never should have left him." And Caspian says, "I'm sorry." What exactly they're talking about, I don't know.
Yeah,
And
'cause
then,
Eustace leaves them in the book. So you
yeah.
wonder, what's going on there.
Then another big time cut. We're on board the Dawn Treader, and we see the MLG, who's slowly becoming not so mysterious. We're getting to know her a little bit, and we see Lucy and Drinian, and they hear a noise and see fire coming out of the island. And Gale says, "Is it the volcano?" And Drinian says, "Oh no, that's no volcano." And fade to black. Well, really flash white, and then we're done. So this is probably the most interesting of the three.
Yeah, the first thing that I mean, I wasn't, I guess, that surprised when I didn't, I just saw kind of a crevice. I thought, oh, okay, I can imagine them doing differently. And then I saw the skeleton. I thought, what? What? Wait, what? I mean, that
Yeah.
was.
Go ahead.
I just thought, I didn't notice, and I'm going to look at the clip here again. I didn't notice the puff of smoke afterwards, though. So now I'm.
It's very, very subtle. The Icarus is saying, "Oh no, that's just because they filmed this on a actual volcanic island, and that's just how it is." Like, some people think,
This
and
is
I'm really
how it is.
hoping.
I don't know if that's really how it is on volcanic islands.
He says it is, and but anyway, I can't quite remember reading his full. I read his full explanation a while ago. It did kind of make sense, but you think he looks off camera to the right. It'd be so cool if he turned over. There's a dragon right there staring at him, and that would be so scary.
But then he'd have
It'd
to
be cool
kill
if he
it or
did that.
something.
Yeah.
I
Let me
mean,
see.
okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm looking through the forum here.
Well, I'm just. I mean, we're still wondering, of course. We presume, we don't really know that they've combined Deathwater and Dragon Island, but it seems the most likely
That was the
combination.
one where when it was said, yeah, if combined, we're going to be combining some islands that came out several
Yes.
months ago, that was the most likely candidate. When we were speculating, it was like, oh, there's a gold connection there, so combining Dragon Water and Death Water would make sense. And it looks like that's what happened. I think that is what happens here. I
It
think
looks.
this is the moment where Eustace wanders off to try to, in the book at least, the reason he leaves is because he's trying to avoid, a hard day's work, and then finds the dragon, and it looks like they're going to have Death Water, the actual water. Be near the Dragon's Cave, or have some connection to the Dragon's Cave.
I mean, it's tricky because you just have a skeleton sitting there with its clothes still on and wearing the arm ring, and he does put the arm ring on his arm, but of course in the book you have one becoming a dragon and one diving into the water, which would make sense. And so it's not really I wasn't really wondering, oh, I wonder,
Yeah,
I just gotta wonder how this one died and who this is,
Yeah, we would suppose it's either Lord Octesian or Lord Restimar, and it could be that it's, because in the book it's Octesian's arm ring, and they never find out for sure, was he the dragon or did he was he killed by the dragon? Maybe this is actually Lord Resimar and who he takes the arm ring from, and maybe maybe Eustace is going to see another dragon, and that
maybe
dragon
that is Artesian.
Lord Artesian. Yeah,
except that it was Lord Artesian's. It was Lord Artesian's arm ring.
So then in the book, yes.
Okay, yeah, I guess I could easily
so it could
that.
Be that Lord Resimar has been changed into a dragon instead. I don't know. I hope not. I always thought it was so creepy. Oh, look at that cool gold statue, and isn't he in kind of a weird position? And then, oh my gosh, that was one of our lords.
Where this skeleton, he just shoves it over, like boom.
Right. That didn't to me. A couple of Narnia lovers disagreed with me, but I felt like that didn't feel true. Like even Eustace, in his greed, would be totally repulsed by a skeleton.
I think he'd be. Yeah, I was. Just, oh, a dead person. You don't think? Right, man, a dead person. He's wearing something. Let me take it.
It is kind of a reflection of his greed, I guess. But I guess that makes sense as far as his character. But I don't know. It just didn't really feel true to me.
Okay, I am watching the clip again here, and there's definitely a little bit of smoke there, but there's also a little bit of smoke earlier in the clip.
Right.
So
I guess
in the same shot where he puts the arming on.
But I thought that. That Decorus had a really interesting. He says, "I think that what is being suggested." I'm going to quote him here. Is I think what is being suggested is that this is the Gold River, and that the reason there are all these gold objects is that the channel is because this is a riverbed, and the river is dried up right now, or just down to a trickle, and that is why the objects are visible. Which it kind of makes sense when you look at it. So maybe they follow the dried up riverbed, and they find like the source of it or something like that, and that's where they find Deathwater.
And this dried up riverbed that turns things into gold then turns people into dragons?
I guess so. I don't know.
It's like a domino effect of spells.
You can kind of see where all these pieces are related,
but
I don't quite understand how are they actually going to make them fit together.
Well, actually, what I just said, I was half serious. I mean, that seems to be what, you know, something where I'm guessing that they are going to still have one of
that somehow, you're saying?
Yeah, it seems like they would try to connect it somehow. Like something bad happens to people who are connected with this river or this gold. I do think that they're still probably going to have the dragon be a former human, you know, the other dragon, if we have another dragon. Or they could just have him turn it.
I'm hoping it'll be a mystery like it is in the book.
Right. They won't just say, "Oh, I get it," and spell it out for the, dumb it down for the audience.
Yeah.
So, do you think, I mean, it was really weird just seeing from the ship, of course, we have that huge piece of, flame.
Yeah, and then seeing Gale talking. So, remember, this does bring back, presumably, this scene here at the end of the volcano and all that, that's going to immediately precede the it was of where this crew was like shooting at Eustace. Remember the big
Glumpuddle, you're dropping out. Could you start maybe right when you started talking about this, second clip here?
Okay.
You started dropping out.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I'm going to quit Safari though.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So at the very end of this clip, it's like there's a big time cut or something, and we see, Lucy. Say, what is that? And then Gale, our mysterious little girl, she's like, is it the volcano? And I'm guessing this is the scene that immediately precedes what we several months ago were calling the dragon attack, which is something we were seeing spy videos of. Mm-hmm. And we know that Eustace, I'm not sure if attack is the right word. We don't really know what his motivation is. But at some point, Eustace is flying around the ship and they're shooting at him or something. And
Well, was Caspian on the ship during those spy videos? Because I don't think we saw him.
I'm pretty sure he was, actually.
He was? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because remember, that was the big And the timing of this is obviously messed up with the editing, because we can't really tell.
Right.
Because presumably this is after Eustace becomes a dragon, but maybe not. Maybe the dragon they're talking about is Artesian or the other dragon. So it's, again, all these pieces, yeah, you can see where they're related, but how is it all going to fit together? And Prince Caspian was kind of the same way, probably more so than this.
Yeah, I mean the whole thing with the sequencing just was really confusing for me because I was going, okay, you know, at what point because we just see Caspian and I mean Edmund come right up after he you know sees the puff of smoke, and so you wonder how far is it after that, and then you know are they back on the ship when they see
Well,
the
that's got to be after that's got to be a pretty big time cut when you see Caspian and Edmund coming along because they
right.
find Eustace's shoe and they're like, "Oh, it's sort of like, oh, he's gone."
And presumably, I'm guessing that the shoe's there just because he turned into a dragon. He's not wearing his clothes anymore.
Right. He did slip though. It could have just fallen off. Who knows? But as far as his clothes, it was who was it? An Arnie Weber Hogglestock pointed out. They said that they like that Eustace is still wearing his English clothes because it's just cool that it makes sense that he would refuse to wear the Narnian clothes. He'd be stubborn like that. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah,
And then,
definitely.
but when Caspian and Edmund, when they find the shoe, I think it's Edmund that says, "I never should have left him." And Caspian says, "I'm sorry." And that was odd. It's like, what exactly, like, what is Caspian apologizing for? And what does Edmund mean by, "I never should have left him"? So I don't
Well,
quite
I think
understand
about
this dialogue.
the I'm sorry thing. I think that's just I'm sorry that he's. You know, that he's missing or that he's gone. I don't think he was meaning anything like Edmund, you know,
It's just odd though,
did
because
something.
the delivery of the line. Okay, my very first thought, the first time I saw the clip, was that Caspian was being enchanted somehow, because he has this weird kind of dreamy way he delivers, like, "I'm sorry." He's just staring at the gold. And my first thought is, oh, and now people generally agree with this as far as this is where very close to this, they're going to have Caspian and Edmund's dispute over the gold, about who has the right to the gold from the book. And I thought, oh, this is Caspian trying to make a half-hearted attempt at sympathy, but it's actually just transfixed by this
The
gold. And yeah,
the
maybe.
shoe, I have to say, the shoe that Edmunds picks up is burnt.
Oh, is it?
It is. It's burnt on the right side. It's charred.
That's right. I did see that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm guessing that he that's, you know, he loses it because he turns into a dragon.
Or maybe a dragon,
Or
like a
another
dragon
dragon.
breathes fire at him and he just manages to escape.
Could be, yeah,
Yeah,
yep,
so
that
many
too.
little pieces here. And
I know.
then at the end, I remember like and then having the MLG in there at the end actually.
What is she doing there? I
It's
just
still, it's like Bookworm said, he was in the forum. Bookworm was like, he's just not thrilled about Gale. He's like, "It looks like we were fooling ourselves when we thought she didn't have much screen time." And she is going to play a fairly significant role. She's going to have an
Yeah.
actual subplot and arc that evidently ends with her jumping off the ship for some reason. Or I don't know if it ends with that, but at some point that happens.
Probably doesn't end with, you know. Ah!
Yeah.
No, I thought that she was going to be leaving at the Lone Islands,
Yeah, it's just,
or at
and
least that
we
she
were
was going to
saying,
be.
well, that was kind of the bright side. Well, at least she's leaving right here.
Yeah, and I'm going. Oh, what? It just. I don't know. I mean, I think it's still interesting. I'm trying to remember what Dr. Ransom said. He said kind of the face of pain or something like that. He had an interesting theory. But yeah, I don't know about Gale. I'm not. That's probably. I'm actually. I think I'm
One
a
of the
little more
weirdest
annoyed
things.
with. I'm not sure if I'm more annoyed with this or the fact that we have minotaurs on the Dawn Treader.
To me, I'm just still kind of weirded out by Gale and why is she there? And I think it's probably just because they have to find a way to get another female character on board the ship. That's kind of my thought. Though I guess we already talked about
Really?
that.
That's kind of a. I mean. You can come up with better reasons, people.
Yeah,
But I mean, it just seems, I don't know. I guess what I'm always, I was, it's the same kind of concern I had with Trumpkin. Even though I love Trumpkin, I love Peter Dinklage's understanding of Trumpkin and his portrayal, but I just didn't want any other fact X factors messing up the dynamics between the characters, you know? And I thought that it was just such an interesting the way it was. It worked so well, but
yeah.
I don't know.
My overall thoughts on this scene, though, that I am again, it's this, how does it all piece together? I don't know, but I do feel like, well, I feel like this really could work. Do you feel like
Yeah.
if they find a way to tie all this together, this could be. See, I was kind of skeptical about can they actually combine these islands and make it work? Is it just going to feel like they're cramming them all together? But I'm looking at this and like, wow, this could actually be a much more efficient way to tell the story cinematically.
Yeah, it again, it depends on how they're tying together. a lot of the things I'm seeing here individually, you know, and when you step back, you're kind of confused, going, "Wait, what?" But every little piece I'm seeing here looks pretty good. Well, most of it looks pretty good, and
Again,
so.
I like Will Poulter's performance here. Again, just love how he's. I'm still not sure if I buy the whole him just, you know, not being that freaked out by the skeleton, but I like how we see his greed here.
And for all we know, we could have him in the full version being completely repulsed by the skeleton, and then he looks down and he sees the bracelet, and then he just grabs it,
That's
which
right.
might play a little better.
Just getting little clips of this. I mean, overall, I'm like, man, this definitely could work. You see where the pieces are there. If they can tie all this together, I really think I could be okay with this change. And so you can certainly see the theme of greed tying it together too, with Eustace's greed and then Edmund and Caspian having their dispute. So you can see where this whole island to be about greed.
Well, Eustace really, in some ways, gets more dialogue in these three clips than in all the other characters put together. But and so far, everything I'm seeing of Eustace, I think this is kind of almost like a little Eustace package, is really how they've kind of wrapped it up.
I was always feeling good about Will Poulter, but seeing him act now, and maybe it's a little overacting just a little bit, but I'm just pleased that he looks younger, and I'm just definitely overall he does seem like very much how I imagine Eustace.
Yeah, and as for the voice thing, you know, I don't really pick up the voice in clip two, as far as any oddities to the voice. So, that could just be a minor issue. So.
I do like also how a lot of people are freaking out, don't like the fact, oh, there's no cave. He doesn't find the gold in the cave. And I just think it's a really cool visual to see all this intricately detailed treasure lying in a pile in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, well, how did it get there? It suggests backstory in kind of a
Yeah,
creepy
I
way.
don't really. I mean, the cave. I mean, no.
It's nothing wrong with the cave. I just think that this is a really
No,
interesting visual for film.
I'm just thinking. Yeah, for me, it's kind of okay. If you can make it work just as well without the cave, fine. I mean, the cave is the last thing I'm concerned about as far as the integrity of the book. So yeah, I think it did look pretty impressive the way they were doing it. A little bit, I don't know, a little bit cheesy at one point when
So
Caspian
we're
and Edmund
seeing
walk up.
a lot of changes here, but most of them are like, I think I'm kind of feeling okay about them.
Yeah, they look that one shot looked like a green screen shot, Caspian and Edmund, but oh well.
So you think we
Well,
have time for clip three here?
do you have time for clip three?
I
We
think
have
so,
about
yeah.
okay.
So
Clip three, they're going across the water lilies, and that's it.
Oh, all
Done.
right. Well, at the beginning, we see them standing on the ship, and Caspian says, "Aslan's country, we must be close." And then you have it cuts to them on the rowboat, you know, going towards Aslan's country. And then Eustace starts explaining what it felt like to be for Aslan to undragon him. Then it ends with Lucy saying, "Oh, what's it going to be like, Aslan's country?" And Eustace goes, "I can't even imagine it, really." What were your thoughts on this?
I mean, okay, I thought it was interesting assuming he is discussing it there, and we do have one shot of him where where we know he is there talking about it, where he says, "Actually, I was a better dragon than I was a human." It made me think, okay, I wonder if they're moving the Dragon Island into later in the story.
Yeah, we've been thinking about that for a while, I think.
We
We've
have.
been
We have been thinking
suspecting
about
that.
that for a while. But then it's, you know, I'm going, okay, wait. Okay, the trailer. Pull up the trailer, and what clothes is he wearing when the Duffelpuds are dancing around him?
He's just wearing his clothes from the first scene, basically.
Really? Okay, so he's not a changed Eustace, presumably not a changed Eustace at Coriarchan's Island.
Hang on, let me get
We
to
gotta be sure that, because I think that would be a key indicator. I
that.
really
Is,
do.
that is interesting, the fact that he's definitely. I mean, he's definitely wearing English clothes for sure.
Okay.
So, if his clothes are an indicator, that could indicate that they have moved it later in the story, which is a change I've been suggesting for a while, and that
Now,
we've been
again, why do you
suspecting.
suggest that? Because I, why do you suggest that?
It's really as simple as I think that in the book you get to know Eustace so well very quickly, and you get inside his head even so much that you actually get to read his diary. And I think that you establish, okay, this is a kid we don't like. He has problems, and so when he is undragoned, I think you do have that power. I don't. In a movie, you have to. All of this has to be communicated visually. So to have the same power, to have the same, like, oh, it's been this character who's been rotten for so long and now he's changing, to have that same power, I think you need more time in the story. So therefore, you have to spend more time with him being a rotten Eustace, and then he can change later in the story. Also, that would be a little more. Not that, I mean, I'm always encouraging them to do things, to do the unconventional thing, do something different. But it's actually be more conventional to have him change closer to the end of the story. That's usually how it works in films, where you have a character who's a one way for he's one way for most of the story, then he changes at the end. So I just think cinematically, yeah, you need more time to establish Rotten Eustace. Then when he changes, it's more powerful. Now in the book, it's powerful because we get to know him so well, we get inside his head. But I think it's going to take, because we're making a movie, it has to be told visually. It's going to take they're going to need more time to get inside his head.
Unfortunately, okay, I was just looking at on Ramandu's Island. I don't see Eustace in any of the shots. So I guess there's some points, like Ramandu's Island is really where I guess his character is revealed a little more, and maybe on Deathwater is his character being changed from a dragon is more significant. Maybe Coryokan's Island, maybe not so much. So maybe having Coryokan's Island earlier might not be a bad idea. So and it may be they want to keep that, like, put that move that island up earlier because it's a little less exotic in some ways.
Now the dialogue here, if the dialogue is actually the dialogue from this scene, it was a Malfoc, a Narni Weber, who was an audio editor and said that they listened to the clip and like, wow, this dialogue doesn't sound like it's from this scene. It sounds like, and you don't see Eustace. The only line you really see him saying is when he says, "I think I was a better dragon than I, or being a dragon wasn't all bad," all that. Before that, you don't actually see his mouth moving. It's just these wide shots, and so that would seem like they were trying to disguise the fact that it wasn't from this scene.
That could be right. And also one other thing, and as for Eustace, becoming a dragon later, I don't know. I'll have to see how it plays out. It could work well, as you said. One thing that here's something that I noted immediately was that Edmund and Caspian are wearing armor. Now, it could be from the battle with the sea serpent.
Now
That's probably, I think,
they're
my
wearing
number
armor
one.
at the beginning of the clip, you mean, right?
Sorry, at the beginning of the clip, they're wearing armor. When they
And
see
they're like
Aslan's
Ascent
country
Country,
from
but we must
that
be close.
point.
But it seemed like kind of a, yeah, you're looking right at it. Of course they're close. So that seemed weird out of context.
Well, no, I don't know. Well, you don't. I mean, that the lilies are not Aslan's
Yeah,
country.
but he's looking at, but he says Ascent Country. We must be close to Ascent Country. Like, yeah,
Oh, okay. Yeah,
no
that
kidding,
is odd. Yeah, you're right. But I think that it was I mean, I wonder if they're wearing armor because of the sea serpent, or maybe if they're wearing armor because of Eustace being
Or
a
maybe they just
dragon.
wear armor all for a lot of time on the ship. I don't know.
No, but that was, I thought, what made them wear armor? That's, and I thought, okay, number one,
All
sea
kinds of
serpent, number
things.
two, Eustace.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
kind of what I'm
the main
seeing.
thing here
So.
with this clip is that I think a lot of fans were so happy to see is that they've translated a lot of Lewis's description when he was talking about what it felt like for Eustace to be undragon, about how it hurt, but it was a good kind of pain. And they translated that into dialogue that he apparently actually speaks at some point, which is a lot of people are like, oh, and it's so great to hear him talking about how I couldn't do it myself. Aslan had to do it for me. And I agree, even though we knew that, Walden was, we know him for a while, they were very insistent. No, Eustace, the whole point is that Eustace has been so prideful and now he has to say, I can't do this. I just hope that the scene when he's undragon still stands alone. I hope that we don't need Eustace to explain, oh, it was painful, but it was a good kind of pain. I couldn't do it myself. I hope that comes through in the scene. But either way, it is nice to see them trying to take Lewis's words and actually find a way to use them in the movie.
Yeah, and they kind of recap for the audience later in the film, however later it is, what went on. And that's probably the one scene I'm most interested in seeing. Probably just curious to see, maybe
Then I
more than
think the
anything.
number one thing I'm really so happy about with this scene is that the fact at the end when Lucy says, can't even Ascent Country, what's it going to be like? What? And then Eustace says, like, can't even imagine it really. I love that sense of anticipation over what is it going to be like. And I think that's such an important part of the book. And I hope that that's something that runs through the entire film and not just this clip.
And the lilies look great. I'll just
Kind
say
of
that. They look.
CG fakey to me. I'm not totally buying it. It
Oh,
really,
shut up.
really looks. And I know Jim Fan disagrees, and a lot of people probably disagree. I think it looks very blue screen, and I don't know. It looks a little too much like one of the Star Wars prequels. Like it's kind of a little oversaturated and flat, and might be that whole digital camera look that I'm not crazy about. But I mean, like, yeah, I like it. I like the fact that they're there. It's just really just on a technical level. Not sure if I buy that they're there. Maybe they'll look better in the final film, though.
No, I thought they looked pretty good, and I couldn't see any line as far as, oh yes, that's where the real Lily's end. That's where the Well, this was fun.
Yeah. This is definitely the most encouraging stuff we've seen so far. Way better than trailers.
Oh, yeah. Certainly.
Even though, like, the trailers are kind of poorly edited and stuff, not very well done. But as far as, hey, pick apart what we're seeing, it's like, wow, this looks like, all three of these scenes look like they're going to be good scenes.
Yeah, they do. They do. And this is, I do feel better. You know, after seeing the first trailer, you and I are more on the same page than compared to Jim Fan. I felt worse after seeing the first trailer. I feel much better.
Definitely. My expectations have gone up, although there's still a lot we haven't seen. Even in these clips.
There are certainly. I have my reservations, even in these clips. But yeah. These overall do
make me
feel better.
Looking at, I'm finally, for the first time, I could look at those and go, man, this might – I've just been sort of waiting for that day where on both War Jim and Caspian this happened, where it's like – if it's the trailer or an interview or a clip or something where you watch it and you go, oh, I think this really could be a great movie. And after the first two trailers, I'm kind of going, I'm just not feeling it. And these clips, I'm finally starting to feel like this could be a great film and a great adaptation.
Indeed.
Especially the last clip where I'm kind of like, wow, it really sounds like the fact that they felt the need to include that dialogue, at least whether it's good or not, at least it shows that they're aware of the importance of having those ideas in the film. So at the very least, all three clips are very encouraging. I just hope that
they understand a lot of the themes. And so far we haven't seen anything on Seven Swords.
Mean it's not there. It just means we haven't seen it. Like,
for the second trailer,
a lot of people said, oh, we're just glad the White Witch isn't in this trailer. And it's like, well, she's still going to be in the movie. So it's
still there. Still there. And Peter and Susan, well, we'll talk about them later.
So I'm so relieved to be able to give all three of these clips a thumbs up. I don't think I would have been able to take being able to have more negative stuff. But again, it's just after the first trailer,
I was
just kind of saying,
it.
Well, this doesn't look good, but hopefully it's because we haven't seen that much. Hopefully when we see more, we'll feel better. And I think that's the case here. We're seeing more, and I'm definitely feeling a little better.
Well, we're all glad that you're feeling better, if for no other reason than your health.
I am.
Thank you very much.
All right. Hopefully get something new soon.
Indeed. Further up and further in.
Further up and further in.